There's a good man. There's a husband for you. Ain't that good? Extra special. That's nice. Setting the tone, setting the example. I like it. I like it. You're making us all look bad, Chuck. But I thank you for that. All right. One of my favorite passages is found in James. James 1:22. Do not merely listen to the words and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. We're going to spend the next several weeks in the book of James. So if we're in James 2 this week, guess what next week is? Yeah, all right, you got it. All right. That particular passage in James 1 that I refer to a lot, and if you've ever gotten a letter from me or something, or a card or a thank you or something, usually I'll write that on the bottom, you know, James 1:22, and hopefully you go look it up. It says, do not merely listen to the words and so deceive yourselves, do what it says. And that pretty much kind of sums up the book of James. So we can move on then. Yeah, so we're done. We can move on then. Many think that the book of James should not be canonized, should not even be within the holy scriptures of what we would call the Bible. Because it seems, or it can seem as if it might support that justification is found in works, and that your salvation is not by faith alone. And well, it can seem that your salvation becomes works related, and I don't believe that that's what James is saying. The Testament of James could have been the very first really letter, passage, or book, or pithy sayings, or however you want it, that was really first ever written. And as such, he would have written it to Jewish converts in and around Jerusalem, Jewish people that were messianic in their faith, meaning they were Jewish but believed that Jesus was in fact the Messiah. So James has to kind of start with some explanations concerning law and all the things about the law and then what faith has done for them. And even though the passage that we must not only listen to the words but do what it says, see, he's trying to point out that there's no inherent value in listening. There's no inherent value in just listening to it all. That's kind of the point that James is trying to make. See, you have to put some feet to your faith, right? You kind of have to put some actions to your faith. You have to put some deeds to your faith. You have to put some walk to your talk, right? So I'd imagine that the people that are here, we have some faith in the Lord. Give me an amen. All right. So if you don't put some actions to your faith, then you don't have a working faith. What you have is a philosophy. What you have is a theory or theology. And your witness, pretty much worthless. See, you have a lot of words that have depth, but your witness is shallow. Kind of stated in a Reformed theological kind of way is, salvation is the administration of Christ's redemptive work to the elect, while justification is that part of the administration to which a sinner is declared righteous. See, you're not saved by works, but your works show your salvation, your righteous actions, right? And so when we think about things like, well, we must display the fruits of the Spirit and the kindness and the gentleness and the peace and the best. And who is all that for? The emphasis can kind of be looked at in some of the proper words in the passage. If you kind of emphasize them a little bit, they kind of give us maybe a little bit better understanding. And the emphasis could be, show me. Or you see that a man of faith is justified by what he does. See, you see that a man is justified by what he's done. Not just knowing the words, but you see what he does. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. See, evidence of your faith, does it? What does that even mean, by the way, like the testing of your faith? The testing of your faith. See, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. See, James illustrates using a couple of people. One of those that those Jewish believers would have been very familiar with was Abraham. You see, verse 22, right? You see his faith and his action worked together. You see that his faith and his actions worked together. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do, not by faith alone. Strong words. And James is not contradicting other apostles or teachings of Christ. God alone justifies. God alone saves. God alone glorifies. Yet you should see salvation is apparent in actions and in works. The righteousness of a person will be evident. Someone's faith will be unmistakable. His convictions are apparent. And perhaps even the stronger emphasis of the book of James might be the emphasis on personal behavior. And this is when everybody squirms in their seats. About personal behavior, not so much theological doctrine. You with me? See, James is a life application preacher. He's a practical theologian. What good is your theology if you don't put it into practice? If all you have is a theology, it's dead, meaningless, nothing. Witness is pointless. You need them to work together. And he's expressing this because many of those people had gone into hiding. Many were in fear for their own lives. Persecution was prevalent at the time. Many had stopped evangelizing. Many kept their faith to themselves. Anybody in here? Keep your faith to yourself. You're a secret agent Christian. See, James encourages us to be bold in our faith. James encourages us to live the way we believe, or to live what we believe. Do you live the way you believe? Now, James is the brother of Jesus. He's not the James the apostle that we think of, right? The sons of thunder. He's not that James. This is a different James, a brother of Jesus, and he was the first leader of the Jerusalem church. He was eventually stoned to death by the Pharisees 65 years after the death of Christ. So probably around, 55, 60 years after the death of Christ, James is writing to believers that are still scared, still in hiding. What does it mean to be a disciple? What does it mean to be a follower, a team player? Essentially, I think it kind of boils down to this. Do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul? Do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul? Prove it. See, that's James' appeal. That's him begging. That's him asking him, show your faith. And James was, this brother of Jesus was saved after the resurrection. Not before, after the resurrection. Then James came into a belief. Oh, Jesus appeared to James and it changed his life. He became the pastor of that church in Jerusalem and he saw religious works and he saw legalism firsthand. See, James is not saying that works saves us. And James is not fighting legalism. He's fighting laziness. His target is not doctrine and theology. His target is your behavior really kind of sucks. And you call yourself a Christian. Where's your witness? And I believe the battle still goes on today. He's saying to us, if you really are saved, you will live out what you believe. See, here's your next slide, by the way, in case you're tired of those feet walking. Many Christians have claims, but they have no conduct. They have claims, but they have no conduct. Wise men talk because they have something to say. Fools talk because they have to say something. James expresses what it means to have a real faith, about walking in your faith. And listen, if you would characterize a person by their actions, you will never be fooled by their words. How do you think I characterize you? How do you think I characterize you when I pray for you? By all the things that you've said to me? Or by all the things I've seen you do? James told us that we are not to even play favorites. If you go before that a little bit in the scripture, and then if you go a little bit past the scripture, just read it, he's going to talk about your tongue. We'll cover that next week. James shows us that faith and works are literally two sides of the same coin. Three times in our passage he says, your faith without works is dead. Your faith without works is dead. Your faith without works is dead. Do you think he means it? And if this is the word of God, do you think he means it? James is stating it pretty clearly. I've kind of heard it explained this way. I was kind of a seminary student way back when, but kind of explained this way. It's kind of like faith and works are kind of like two oars when you're in a boat, right? And so if you're only going with one oar, then you're just kind of going in circles. If you're kind of going with the other oar, well, then you're just kind of going in circles. So if you think it's just about, you know, it's all about, you know, your works. It's all about how many times you prayed and how many devotions that you made and how many times you prayed this week and how many times you've been to the thing and how much, and then you're basing it all on your works, and it's just, you're going in circles. And if you think it's all about, well, it's just grace, and it's just grace, and I could do whatever I want, and God's just going to forgive me anyway, so I can just continue to sin and be the way that I want to be, and God's just going to have mercy on me, and that's what his word says. And see, it's not. It's not one or the other. It's both. I just made that up. That's pretty good. But so both, right? It's both. And listen, and you can still, people know how to row a boat, right? You rowed a boat before, and it's like, row a boat, right? You're going to go straight. You'd go straight like this if you did it like this too, right? Right? I mean, you might be like this, but you're going to get there. If you're just doing one, you're just going to go in circles. See, get both oars in the water. Get both oars in the water, and you'll be able to accomplish the will of God. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith, but no deeds? Can such faith save them? Are you going in a straight line or following the will of God? There's going to have to be an approach to your faith. There's your next slide. There's an approach to your faith. Can a man say, I believe in Jesus Christ, and live any way he chooses? Is it possible to be a Christian and never have a change in your life, a transformation in your heart? See, notice the questions that he asks. Can a man have faith and not do good works? Can such faith even save them? See, a person who really believes something does something. He acts upon what he believes. And this is the reality of our current Christianity. Millions come forward and make their profession of Jesus Christ as their Savior. They check the box off, and they're, you know, on the offering card, yeah, and I'm saved. I came up and I prayed. And they never once lived for Jesus. They never once repented of anything. Is it possible then to be saved and claim all the salvations of Christ and then feel no conviction for sin? Is it possible to be saved and live like the rest of the world all week long and then come to church on Sunday? James would just simply say this: I don't believe you. I don't believe you. You love the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul? Yeah, baby, prove it. Because what I see, I don't believe it. I know you claim the blood of Christ over your life and over your sins, yet there's no circumcision of the heart. There's no desire to walk in the ways of the Holy Spirit of God. There's no desire that you would emulate and produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life, amongst yourself and amongst your family and amongst your church and amongst your community. You have no desire for any of that. You want all the benefits of salvation without ever becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. You have confession and no repentance. Is that good enough? Nothing about you may even be remotely different. What good is it? What kind of testimony is that, James would say? What kind of testimony is that? Just trying to use Jesus to get out of hell free card, right? Jesus is my insurance policy. Or is it just something you use to mask your own shame and your own guilt and your own ways of behavior? Listen to how the Lord spoke to the church in Laodicea. These are the words of the great I am, the faithful and the true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, and they are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, you are neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. Don't kill the messenger, folks. Jesus talking to his church, not the world, the church. You can say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined with fire so that you can become riches, and that white clothes you would have to wear, and that you can cover your shameful nakedness and put salve on your eyes so that you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and I discipline and I teach. So be earnest, repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I give the right to sit with me on my throne. Just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. Let me tell you about the greatest advocate for atheism. The greatest advocate for atheism is the professing Christian with no conduct. You're a Christian atheist. You believe in God, but you live as if he doesn't exist. You speak as if he doesn't exist. I have sat in crack houses with people that will say, oh yeah, I'm born again, while they stuff another rock in the pipe. What kind of witness is that? Oh yes, I'm a Christian, and you lie about your neighbor. Oh yes, I'm a Christian, and you belittle your husband. You degrade your spouse. Oh yes, I'm a Christian. What kind of belief is that? James stated, this kind of faith will not take you to heaven. And here's why he says that. Because that's not faith. You think that's faith,
That's just a belief you have. That's just a theology you have. That's a philosophy of which you desire to try to accumulate with knowledge and wisdom. But you don't live by it. You don't live by it. You don't walk by it. You don't talk by it. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their tongues, but their hearts are far from me. Saying they have faith, but never living it out. That's a violation of real faith. It's a contradiction to real faith. It's a contradiction to deep faith. It's a contradiction to saving grace. False faith is a faith in speech. No words, no actions. It's all talk. That type of faith produces zero repentance. That type of faith produces zero change. You keep living like you've always lived. You keep sinning like you've always sinned. And that faith has words and no deeds. And that faith, dead. You hear me? James is pretty clear. I don't want people to think I'm a Christian because of what I say. I want people to think I'm a Christian because of the way I live. Anybody else? We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. And together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. And they'll know we are. You sing it. Yes, they'll know. Let others see Jesus in you. That's righteous, dude. It'll be credited to you as righteousness by the things that you do, man. Your life will be a witness more than your words, perhaps, at times. Faith on display. See, everybody's got words, everybody's got opinions, everybody's got a social media that they love to just tout and spill and talk, and everybody's got that. Great faith has action. I just realized that few start to have action. Many got words, and the road just gets narrower and narrower and narrower, and your companions become fewer and fewer and fewer. Faith that is alive and that is active cannot even comprehend beginning to try to live in a sin-filled life anymore. As if this is the way in which you live, sin after sin after sin. An active faith cannot even begin to understand why you would want to live that way. I don't want to live that way anymore. I can't do those things anymore. I don't even want to think that way anymore. And I ain't going back. A faith that is alive and active loves the hurting, loves to encourage those that are seeking, aches for the lost, tries to help those that are in need, shows concern, shows compassion, shows kindness, just doesn't talk about it, shows it, lives it. Faith that is active and alive changes our character. Your faith changes your character, and it challenges the way in which you think. Are you thinking like the world, or are you thinking like God? Are you thinking in his ways? Are you thinking in man's ways? Faith that is active and alive adjusts personal behavior. And if you're squirming in your seat right now, that's good, because I'm just getting started. There's an application to your faith. There's an application of our faith. There's your next one. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food, and one of you says, go, be in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs. What good is it? What good is it? You talk, and nothing gets done. In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. You have faith, I have some deeds. See, now it's we see what this dead faith is really worth. We can see what false faith and false beliefs do. dead faith. It's useless. How are you demonstrating your faith to those in your family, to those in the church, to those that are outside the church and lost? Here's the real kicker. Many people don't want out of their sinful life. Here's your next slide. They want Jesus to accept their sins. They don't want Jesus to take their sins. See, we all say, Jesus accepts me just the way that I am. Yes, but he's not going to keep you the way that you are. And if you've come and Jesus accepts me the way that I am, and you think he's just going to continue to accept you like this, like this, like this, like this, like this, how much longer are you going to continue to have a word faith but no actions? And can such faith save you? Half-brother of Jesus would tell you, what benefit is your life to the kingdom of God? Faith without change is dead. Faith without works, dead. Faith without works, dead. Three times he tells us, right? What does a dead faith even mean? What does dead even mean? What does dead even mean? No life. There's no life. There's no life in your faith. There's no living out your faith. You're dead. You have all this, but you have nothing in your life that's working. Nothing in your life that presents itself as a demonstration of your faith. No faith. No action to your faith, just empty words. So I'm reading this story. An old man smiles and he says this. Let me tell you a story. One day I was sitting quietly in the sun with my dog. That sounds like a good day. Suddenly a large white rabbit ran across in front of us. Well, my dog jumps up and took off after that big old white rabbit, and he chased that rabbit all over the hills and all with all kinds of passion, and soon there were other dogs that joined him in the chase. They were attracted by his barking, and they were just right along with him. What a sight to see, a pack of dogs running and barking up and down the creeks and up and over the embankments and through the thickets and through the thorns. Gradually, however, dogs just started to fade away and not continue in the chase, all except my dog continued to pursue that white rabbit. Why didn't the other dogs continue in the pursuit? They had not seen the rabbit. Only my dog saw the rabbit. See, is your faith real? Have you had an encounter with Christ? Has he radically transformed your life? Is he a part of your life or a figment of your imagination? Is he a part of your life or some theology that you subscribe to? Is he a part of your life or some good idea that you were raised up in the house with? Tradition of the family. Is Jesus God or some philosopher with a good few sayings? See, if my faith is real, I should be able to answer a couple questions. What is my faith really good for? Well, it gets me into heaven. Faith gets you into heaven. Well, how selfish of you. Your faith's all about you. Jesus' own life wasn't about Jesus. Jesus' life was about you, someone else. If you want to emulate Jesus, your life might need to be about something more than yourself. That was Jesus. It wasn't about him. It was about others. What is your faith good for? I love James because he throws a real shocker right into the Jerusalem church. I love it. He tells them and says, hey, you believe in God? Yeah, well, even the demons believe that. You believe in God? So do they. You have faith? Yeah, they have faith too. They believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So what? Do you hear? So what? Even the demons believe that. All you're professing is a belief that hell believes. Is that faith enough? Is that belief enough? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father, he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Didn't we do all these miracles and wonders in your name? And he will declare to them, away from me, I never knew you, you who practice this lawlessness. Wow. What is the will of God? What would Jesus tell you? Love the Lord your God with all your... And do what? Love your neighbor as yourself. And love your neighbor as yourself. I think there's some action that might be required in this love your neighbor as yourself. Oh, well, my pastor, who's my neighbor? Okay, shall we read the Good Samaritan? Where is your faith? Where is your belief taking you? What does it mean to you to even have faith? I have a belief. But it doesn't. If it doesn't transform, if it doesn't move you in a direction, if it doesn't challenge you and change you, you just have some philosophies and great things that you're thinking about all day. And it might bring you some comfort, but I'm telling you, that's not faith. Here's an appeal of the faith. Here's your next one, an appeal of the faith. Wasn't, and James writes, was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did? Considered righteous, dude, by what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar. You see that his faith and his actions were working together. And his faith, oh, this is pretty good. This is pretty good. And his faith was made complete by what he did. His faith was made complete. He had both oars in the water, not just this one. I can do whatever I want, live like I want, and just continue to sin because God's going to forgive me anyway. No, no. Oh, I didn't pray enough. I got to be at work. I got to be at the places I'm supposed to. I got devotions I need to do, and I'm a failure, and I'm not. Nope. Both oars in the water, baby. Both oars in the water. Both oars in the water. By what he did. His faith, his life, his actions. He was made complete. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do, not just by faith. See, you can have all the right words, but then you do the wrong things, and what happens to all the things that you've been saying, right? We see this all the time, because people don't live by the things that they say. Why do we dislike politicians so much? Why do we dislike immoral and fallen pastors? Because they talk and talk and talk and talk, but they don't live it. James ends with a call upon a higher authority to prove his point. He appeals to those about Abraham even being their father of the Jewish nation, and Rahab the harlot, a hero of Jericho. Abraham's faith was made perfect and made complete, proven to be true because he followed God completely. He paddled with both oars. He did God's will. He just didn't talk about it. He did what God is asking of him to do. Are you doing what God is asking of you to do? Listen, even though it was done with tears in his eyes, even when he didn't understand it and he's shaking, he acted out his faith. He acted out his trust in God that went against everything in his brain and everything that he thought was logical. It even contradicted and challenged what he thought about God. Why would God bless me and then take it away? but I'm going to follow what God is asking me to do. And he followed God. Even in the midst of the challenge, even in the midst of the pain, even though he didn't understand everything, I'm going to trust in the Lord. He did what he knew he had to do if he was going to have both oars in the water. He proved his great faith with an act of sacrifice. Have you sacrificed anything at all? And does your faith cost you anything? If you love God, prove it. Abraham was called a friend of God because his faith in God was demonstrated by what he did. Listen, it really doesn't matter how good some people think they are. A lot of people think they're really good people. It really doesn't matter how good you think you are. It really doesn't matter how bad you think you are. In matter of fact, it really doesn't matter how good you think other people are. It doesn't really matter how bad you think other people are. If someone comes to Jesus with a repentant heart, Jesus transforms their life. If you've come to Christ with a repentant heart, your life is transformed. If you've just come to Jesus because you want some interesting philosophy and a theology, I don't know that your life and your heart have been transformed. That's all James is saying. Jesus will take your sin and wash you clean, and it will change your life. And others will see it. Others will know it. And the things that you do, God will start to call righteous and blessed, and he will oversee all of your life. And that's what our text is saying. Put both oars in the water, baby. Put both oars in the water. You love Jesus. You love God. Prove it. Let me pray with you. Father, in this place, this very day, I pray, Father, that you might begin a ministry amongst us in our own hearts and our own minds, that we would not stay the way we are, that we would be transformed and changed by your presence. Father, I pray that you inspire us to respond spiritually, not financially, spiritually, not physically, spiritually, not emotionally, that you would be the forefront of our lives, that we would desire to walk in your will. And Father, I pray for that discernment, that knowledge, that understanding, that wisdom, that we might demonstrate what God has done for us. And you would receive all honor, glory, and praise with thanksgiving in the name of your Son. Amen. God bless you guys.